Pilots have seen things most people will only dream of. Your host, Jeff Lively, has had his fair share of time in the sky and has plenty of stories to tell. Here on Leaders of Aviation, we're speaking with others in the aviation industry to get their insight and inspiration. Together, we'll gain knowledge to pursue our goals. Life's a journey. Enjoy the flight.
What is going on, y'all? My name is Jeff Lively, and I am your host for the Leaders of Aviation podcast. I'm very excited to begin this podcast and to share it with you. And, on today's episode, what we're going to be talking about is what this podcast is, where we're going with it, who is it for, and really just dial in and get you more excited for the content that we're going to be bringing you. So, as I said, my name is Jeff Lively, and I am also the owner of Lively Aviation, which is home of the Tab Far Aim. If you haven't checked us out yet, feel free to head on over to our website, livelyaviation.com, to find out more. But so let's get right into it. So what exactly is the Leaders of Aviation podcast? So I made a little bit of some notes here in front of me, but I'll obviously expand upon what I've written down. So what is it? I put down interviewing other aviation small business owners and aviation personnel to inspire the current and next generation of aviation enthusiasts. So what I'm going to be doing is, sitting down with other leaders in the aviation industry, and, I'm really excited to be able to do that, and especially with other aviation small business owners. I feel like a lot of the stories that I've heard and that I know haven't been shared with the industry, at least in a podcast form. And we've all heard of the four flights, the Boeings, Duncan Aviation, these big name aviation companies, and don't get me wrong, those are incredible companies, and they are the industry leaders. But what I want to bring more so of a focus on is small businesses and the mom and pop shop maintenance operation, or flight school operations, or there's just a plethora of things that I feel, or at least a plethora of businesses that need that you need to know. And that's part of what I'm going to do and what this podcast is about. And I'm going to bring you those names. I'm going to bring them on here, interview them, so you can learn more about what it takes to operate an aviation business. But I think I'm getting ahead of myself. So let's continue on this list. So who is this podcast for? I jot down aviation professionals, pilots, maintenance personnel, aviation business owners, student pilots, air traffic controllers, flight attendants, business administrators, really anything that encompasses the aviation world will be on this podcast. And that's something that I'm excited about, because there's certain things that I know I haven't heard on podcast, and I'm an avid podcast listener. Let me say that up front. And with the podcasts that I've listened to, I feel that there are some companies and some people that need to be heard, and that they need they need their stories to be shared with the world. And so I'm really excited to be able to sit down with certain individuals and bring that content content to you. So what will I be interviewing these individuals about? What will we be sitting down and discussing? So I jotted down taking them to a better level of understanding on what it takes to build, run an aviation business, and inspire them to take the next steps in their aviation journey. So you, the listener, I want you to have a better understanding of what it takes to operate a business. And, you know, this is going to be a business focused podcast, but at the same time, you know, we're going to have fun, and not all content will be about a business. You know, a lot of it is going to be centered around that though, but it's also going to be aviation themed, and there'll be some shows that we talk no business. We just simply talk about the joys of aviation and what it has done in that person's life. Or and there'll be shows and podcasts where literally the entire thing is going to be talking about business practices, principles, how to operate. There's so many things that go into running a business, and you know, I think that expanding upon those questions that people may have, and expanding upon what it is that, you know, what it takes to operate a business, especially in the aviation industry. So, what would be the goal of this podcast? My last thing that I have jotted down here is to learn more about the aviation industry and to be inspired about taking action toward your goals. So I want you, the listener, to learn more about aviation. Like, you might be someone that has no clue about, you know, what a yoke is, or what an aileron is, or what you know, quarterly taxes are, or, you know, just there's so many things that we will get into. But this show is primarily to inspire you to move forward in your aviation journey and in your career. You know, some people have that dream of becoming, I like to call it a, you know, professional student pilot, and we should all be professional pilots. You know, the safer you are in the air is a safer, and overall better, flying, you know, I'm stumbling over my words here, but I hope you understand what I'm getting at. Is the safer pilot you are for yourself, the safer pilot you are to other people. But you know, with that being said, there's the professional student path career, per se, where you get your private, get your instrument, get your commercial, get your CFI, CFII, multi-engine, commercial add-on, and then boom, you know, you're working as a flight instructor, and you're rocking and rolling, building those hours to get to that airline job that you've always dreamed of. And then there's other individuals that they own a business, and they just purchased their own airplane, and all they really want is their private instrument, and then that's all they want, because they use their airplane for business purposes only. But and we'll be talking to certain individuals that are both sides of the platform, right? Ones that have taken that professional student path career, and they want to go from private all the way to the airlines, you know. And then we'll be talking to the other side of the fence, per se, and they have their own airplane, but they more so or less just want to use that for personal reasons and business reasons. But with that being said, that is what this podcast is about. That's who it's for, what it's going to be about, where it's going, and I'm excited to start this journey with you. And on today's episode, you know, we're going to talk about me. You know, that's not something that I really enjoy doing, but I do know that, you know, you've got to build credibility, especially with your audience and with your branding. And I'm excited to share some of my story with you, and, you know, there'll be tidbits over the coming mini episodes of what it is that I do, the practices that I've done, the experiences that I've been through, so on and so forth. But let's go ahead and get right into it. So again, you know, I am Jeff. You know, I'm sure some of you have listened or watched 22 Jump Street, and you know, everyone always tells me, my name's Jeff. So if that is something that you enjoy, well, I hope I just made you laugh. But my aviation career literally started when I was in the womb. And I say that because I was born into an aviation family. my My grandfather owned and operated his small business aviation company for over 50 years. And he did many, many multiple things. Him and my grandmother, they started this business called Quality Aircraft, which is based in Midlothian, Texas, back in the late 1970s. And my grandfather originally worked for a company out of Redbird Airport, also known as Dallas Executive Airport, doing interiors in aircraft. And he was just a very smart man. He knew, he could almost build, almost. He pretty much was able to build anything that he put his mind to, including my first house, including multiple helicopters, mini airplanes. He would buy them wrecked. Anyway, I'm getting ahead of myself. But they started this company, and at first it was more so about the interior of the aircraft, redoing it, doing the upholstery. My grandma would sew, my grandfather would uninstall and reinstall. But he got really good at what he was doing, and he was very successful. And in the beginning stages of the business, and he started selling and brokering aircraft or airplanes. And from there, he had thousands of hours. His dad was also a crop duster pilot out in New Mexico. And so my grandfather also grew up around aviation, and that bug was in him from a very early age. And anyway, so he was buying and selling airplanes, doing interior work, doing maintenance work, really anything that, that would make money. And he became very good at it. Well, here in the, in the 80s, he had the opportunity to, play with helicopters, and I believe it was a Bell 206, if you're familiar with that aircraft. It was a Bell 206 that he got to experience, and he instantly fell in love, and from there, he switched his entire business model to helicopters. He sold pretty much all of his airplanes, except he always had a Bonanza and a Baron. And B-58 Baron and a VTOL. Actually, it's not a VTOL. It's just a B-36. But sold all of his airplanes and really started focusing in on the Bell 206 series, which is the safest and most popular helicopter to ever be sold, and in my opinion, the best airplane. Here, this is an aviation podcast, and I can't tell the difference between an airplane and a helicopter. Kidding. The Bell 206 is the safest and greatest helicopter that has ever been, arguably, at least, next to the Huey and both Bell products. And that's just my biased opinion. I grew up around the Bell helicopter, obviously. But with that being said, so we got into helicopters excuse me. Wow. From there, he kept rolling with helicopters, and somewhere in the early 90s, my parents decided to do what parents do, and out I come in 1994. It's crazy to think now, living in 2021, that I was born in another century, but it's pretty cool. One day I know my kids will, Lord willing, if he wills for me to have kids, I know that they'll be like, "Oh, Dad, you're so old. You were born in another century. Oh my goodness!" But anyway, so 1994, I was born, and literally out of the womb, I was bitten by that aviation bug. I was told by my family that on the day I was born, a helicopter, Care Flight, I believe, which is a medical helicopter service out of the DFW area, landed at Dallas Methodist Hospital, where I was born. that same day or one of the days I was there while I was born. Anyway, I go home. I get to be about 2 weeks old, and I take my first helicopter flight in a car seat in the front seat of a helicopter. And ever since then, I have been hooked on aviation. Growing up, you know, really between the ages of when I was born to when I was 10, I was constantly over at my grandparents' house, for good reasons. You know, my parents, they were focusing on paying the bills, you know, adulting, and something that I've come I've come to understand more, as we all do. But between the ages of 0 and 10, I was really heavily around my grandfather and grandmother, and I got to see the ins and outs of running a business. While I didn't fully understand then, and I still don't fully understand now because I'm not an expert on business, you know, I got to see what it's like to operate a business. And you know, excuse me, I'm going to take a quick drink of water. Okay, so growing up, you know, I was very blessed to be able to grow up in the manner in which I did. I remember during my elementary years and even high school, but especially during elementary years, my grandfather or my uncle would come and pick me up in the helicopter. And that, man, those were some of my favorite days at school. You know, sometimes I would know that they were coming to pick me up in the helicopter, but most days I did not know. And it was more so of a surprise and a really just a blessing and a treat looking back at it now, being able to be picked up in that manner. And I would always have a really fun time. I remember I would get in the co-pilot seat of the helicopter, which is on the left side, and the right side is the pilot side. And but I would get on the left side, and going out of school, I would always be like, man, I hope the stick is in there. The stick being, you know, you have the collective on the left side, and then you have your control stick. I don't know why I can't think of what it's called at this very second, but you know, it's sitting in front of you. And I would always hope that it was, because I always wanted to fly when I was that age. And it would be so cool taking off, and you know, you do a quick little circle of the school, and then it was a 5-minute flight home, which was better than a 25-minute drive. But anyway, I you know, during my younger years too, during the summers, at least after my fifth grade year, between fifth grade, sixth, seventh, and a little bit of eighth grade summers, I would work for my grandfather. During those years, I learned a lot. I learned how to clean. You know, that's something that has been that was super tedious at that time in my life. But looking back now, it was some of the most important lessons that I could have ever learned, especially during that period of time in my life. But learn how to clean, you know, sweep the barn. So my grandfather, he converted a barn into a hangar, and that's where we would work on aircraft and you know, out in front of that barn, he built a helipad. And you know, so we would land and take off from operations at home, essentially. And anyway, but during those summers, you know, I learned just so much, and I did so many jobs that were very, very good to learn at that age. You know, I would do everything from plumbing, landscaping, you know, mowing the lawn, weed eating, they live on 6 acres, so you know, I would mow all of that, do the weed eating, but more importantly, I would get my hands on aviation, related things. I would take parts off of wrecked helicopters that he would buy, pedals, man, I can't think of just, there's just so many parts on a helicopter, engine mounts, transmission parts, avionics, just a whole bunch, just a whole bunch of things. I would take those parts off. I would sandblast them and make them all nice and clean. And then I would place them back into our parts, into my grandfather's parts, part rooms. And he, you know, he expected excellence in those part rooms. And that's something that he always prided himself on in his shop, was keeping it clean, keeping it presentable. And looking from the outside in, you would never guess that the type of operation that they have in that facility that they do daily. But so anyway, sandblast parts, you know, I would work on the actual helicopters as well. What he's most known for is his red Bell 206 helicopter, L edition. So just, it's the long model. Instead of 5 seats, it can seat 7 people, and it's all red. And he built that helicopter from the ground up. So it was a wrecked helicopter, and he took it from that and built it. I remember taking the first test flight. I believe, if I remember correctly, it was in 2005. He built it. I got on the back of it, and literally it came to a hover, and there's a picture of it. There's proof. So, you know, I can find that and post it. But that was super fun and super cool. But on that same day too, so a quick story about that. On aircraft, there's pitot tubes, right? So that essentially tells you the airspeed, air goes into it, ram air goes into it, and lets you know with instrumentation in the cockpit how fast you're going through the air. And that particular, I can't remember if it was when we were building it, or if it was just one of the times that we were doing an inspection on it, they had the pitot tube on. And I didn't know what a pitot tube was. I found out very fast, though, because it was turned on. And as each of you know or don't know, when you turn a pitot tube on an aircraft, it heats up. And that is it's a de-icing capability. And they were testing to see if it works. Well, little old Jeff decided to pit his, I'm looking at my hands right now. I know you can't see that, but I believe, if I remember correctly, it was my right hand that I put on the pitot tube, and I left it there for a substantial amount of time until I literally felt a burn. I came out of that with second-degree burns. I remember my uncle. So my hand, I placed it on the pitot tube. I was leaning up against it, and all of a sudden my hand just started feeling like fire, and I just started screaming. My uncle, he picked me up and ran to the house to my grandmother, and they assessed the injury, and my hand was starting to bubble. Immediately put ice on it and wrapped it in bubble wrap. And that's the story of how I burnt my hand. I guess that's a kid's version of putting it on the stove, where I put it on the pitot tube of a Bell 206 helicopter. So I don't know if that's cool or not, but that's what happened. Anyway, so, did a whole lot with my grandpa. Every Sunday we would go out to Grand Prairie Airport here in North Texas, and we would give rides right next to, on the south side of Grand Prairie Airport, right over next to Trader's Village there. And every Sunday we would go out. I get to the house about 7 or 8 o'clock in the morning. We'd take off. We'd get to the, we had a little building out there and set up shop until about 3, 4, 5 o'clock in the afternoon, depending on how busy we were. And just give rides. I would be responsible for loading and unloading passengers from the aircraft. And my grandfather would take them up and take them around. For those that don't know, Grand Prairie Airport is very central to like Texas Ranger Stadium, now Cowboy Stadium, Six Flags over Texas, and it's just a really cool flight to take, and you can see Fort Worth and Dallas from the air. But anyway, so that's what I did as a kid, and I worked through my eighth grade summer and through me being a stubborn teenage boy. Throughout the summer, I decided that instead of working, I wanted to chase females and play basketball and video games. And I think up until this time, it's been one of my biggest regrets that I did. And that's that, you know, we'll discuss this in later episodes, but that's a curse of the middle class here in America, is that, I never had to worry about where my next meal was coming from, what shoes I had on my feet, clothes I was going to wear. Very blessed growing up. And, we weren't wealthy by any means. We weren't rich, but we were well off. And meaning that we took care of our bills and our business and did what had to be done, but grew up in a very blessed way, and so I had the opportunity during high school to more so or less be a teenage boy and do what I said, video games, basketball, and chase the females. So we won't really get into that, but getting out of high school, I thought I wanted to be a meteorologist. And so I did a stint at Penn State University out in Pennsylvania, State College, Pennsylvania. Did two semesters, did a summer semester up there and then a fall semester. Summer semester went great. Fall semester did not. Because I realized how much math and science is needed to become a meteorologist. Something cool, and I'll mention this in other episodes, but I'm a storm chaser, been a storm chaser since I was 4 years old, seen multiple tornadoes. My father and I have been chasing for over, I think it's 30 years now, and I've been chasing for pretty much all my life since I was 4 years old. So that would be, I am how old now? 27. So 23 years. I've been chasing for 23 years. So went up to Penn State, did that, and decided, that probably wasn't the best route for me. Came back, and the girlfriend that I was dating at the time, which is now my beautiful wife, Miss Jennifer Lively, I was bitten by love. I was bitten by aviation, but I was bitten by her. And, we're high school sweethearts, met our senior year in high school. And, I had been pursuing her, and, I had to move back home just because I wanted to be with her. And I knew that if I did not, I would probably lose her. So moved back. I thought I wanted to do something medical, because my grandfather always told me to do something medical. Because he said that the aviation business was not a good business to get into. And I was like, what? I just didn't understand. But, kind of went on that advice. And everyone is always going to need something medically done to them. Not in a bad way, but, whether it's a routine checkup, there's just, y'all know, so many specialties. Anyway, so started doing the prereqs for nursing school, and that was a mistake. We'll just leave it at that. I was a orderly at a hospital, so I would clean up after surgery and transport patients throughout the hospital I did that for a couple years. But then I switched my degree plan to business, and that was kind of smart because I really started to enjoy my classes in terms of like, oh, hey, this is something that I could see myself doing and it makes sense. And
the way my brain works, the things that I was hearing, it was more in line with kind of what I wanted to do. And, you know, going back to between my formative years, the most formative years in your life are between the ages of 4 and 7. And during those years for me, I was at my grandfather's almost every day of the week. You know, he had taught me my religious values. He taught me what hard work looks like. You know, he taught me many things in life. And so, going back, fast forward to where I was, you know, the business classes I started taking, I really liked it, but I still wasn't fulfilled. During that entire time between 2012 and 2014, I was like, man, what am I going to do? You know, all of our lives we're told, sit down, be quiet, go to school, get good grades so you can go to a good college, so you can get a good career, so you can have a good retirement, blah, blah, blah. It's the rat race, and we'll go more into that later on. But, you know, between 2012 and 2014, I had gone from meteorology to nursing to business student. I was lost. I was trying to figure out what I wanted to do. And the whole time I knew what I wanted to do, I just was beating around the bush. I wanted to go aviation. That's what I should have started off with. That's what I should have been pursuing from the get-go. So, because I wasn't fulfilled, I decided, hey, I'm going to start my career in aviation. And I decided to join the Texas Army National Guard and to be an Apache helicopter mechanic. And that's exactly what I did. I enlisted, took the ASVAB. Long story with those things, but, you know, that's probably for another episode, but, you know, we'll get into military and military aviation later on, but, and we'll have guests as well. Good friends of mine who are military aviators and so on and so forth. But anyway, so I went to basic training in February of 2015, and then AIT, Advanced Individual Training, at Fort Eustis, Virginia, to become an Apache helicopter mechanic. And that's exactly what I did. I graduated on my birthday in 2015. I will not say my birthday on here, but I thought that was pretty cool. And that was also the day that I turned 21 years old. So I thought I had become a man at that time. And in a way I did. You know, I learned a lot, met a lot of good folks, good men and women that I've served alongside with. But I came back and I was an Apache helicopter mechanic. And when I came back, I told my father, I said, you know, I want to do something I want to keep going down this aviation path. So, you know, with his help, I was able to start doing some flying lessons out of Grand Prairie with Aviator Air. Shout out to them. Went up in a 172, and, you know, my grandfather had always pressed me to learn how to fly with him. And, you know, that's something that I, you know, I don't want to say regret, because my entire, you know, your entire life is not a mistake. It, you know, you are here for a reason and for a purpose. And if you need to hear that, I hope you hear that from my heart. And, you know, reach out to me if you need to talk about anything. I'm happy to hop on the phone with you. But I wanted to fly, and I started taking flying lessons. And I'll never forget that first time I took off with my first instructor. And it was just a feeling that, you know, I'm sure if you are a pilot listening to this, you understand and you know that first time that you go into the air, when you're in the pilot seat, you're at the controls of the aircraft. It's something magical and something that I can't explain unless you've been through it. So started taking flying lessons in 2016, and also started working full time for a senior living company here in Texas. Notice I said full time. So a lot of my time was allocated to working and not necessarily flying. And, you know, if you've been in that situation, typically you choose work over flying. You know, some people don't, and kudos to you. But for me, that's just where I was in my life. And, you know, I was doing online classes through Embry-Riddle for, I think, project management. So still business related, but just wasn't anything that I wanted to be doing or touching, but I was doing it anyway, doing some flying here and there, and then primarily working full time. I worked there for a year. The company that I worked for, I'm good friends. So, the owner of the company, his son was in my class, and I learned just so much about business in 1 year, because, you know, they were a startup. They were in their, I think it was their fourth or fifth, sixth year that when I worked there. And now up until today, they are the second largest senior living company in the state of Texas. He's class act man, and I'm very glad that I was able to work with him and under him, and really just gain a more overall and better perspective on business. And because, you know, growing up, I saw one way. You know, I saw my grandfather, I saw the hard work, I saw one way to operate a business, and then I worked for this gentleman in 2016, and I saw another, and I saw a completely different way of how to operate a business, you know. And we'll get more into that in later episodes, but learned a lot, and doing flying lessons, but the whole time I worked for this gentleman, if he listens to this, please forgive me for this, but I was always thinking of how to get in the cockpit of an aircraft. I was researching a lot about how I would be able to do that and accomplish that. And one day I stumbled across an ad for Baylor University in Waco, Texas. And lo and behold, they have an aviation science program. Shout out to the Baylor Aviation department. So I applied to Baylor University. I got accepted, and on January 1st of 2017, I moved to Waco, Texas, and I began going to school at Baylor with the goal of becoming a pilot. I'm doing a professional pilot concentration. Well, now it's an aviation administration focus, and there's a lot to get into there. But moved down here, started doing the professional pilot path, and I'll be upfront and honest with you too. So back in 2016, when I had started my flight training, I had gotten up to the point to where I soloed, I was doing my cross countries, really just knocking it out. And then I got to my written and I failed my written. I got a 68 on the written. 68, because you need a 70. And that terrified me. And I think that's another reason why I stopped flying. But, you know, if you are in that boat of failing, don't let that hinder you from continuing. Get back in the books, study hard. Reach out to me if you want some principles and practices on how you can do that. But anyway, it terrified me. And I knew that from that time that I was going to need a classroom type environment to pass my private pilot and any flying thing that I wanted to do. So I came to Baylor University and fell in love with the class aviation classes. General courses are another story. They're not needed. And today's day and age, you don't really, I'm not going to bash on higher education, because I know a lot of people are still for it and with it, and they swear by it. But with the aviation coursework that I was learning at Baylor University, it was everything that I needed. It's a Part 141, and it was rigorous. It was, you know, weekly assignments. It was weekly memorization, you know, constantly just hammering out the information that you need to know to become a safe and proficient pilot. And that's exactly what I needed, and that's exactly what I did. And I went to the private pilot ground school, passed with, like, you know, with my aviation GPA at Baylor is like 3.76, 3.8, somewhere in there. Really enjoyed the coursework for aviation classes there. You know, Dr. Cade and Tim Compton there, they run an excellent organization, and Mrs. Oliver. So really, you know, knocked out my courses, became a private pilot. I believe it was April of 2019. You know, I achieved something that I had started in 2016. So it took me 3 years, ladies and gentlemen. But what did I do? I did not quit. I looked myself in the mirror. I kept getting back up. I kept doing the necessary things that I had to do to move forward, even if it was a step at a time, and I did it. And so you need to keep doing it. You need to keep going. Do your flight, you know, your flight training courses. You need to keep studying. You need to keep going at it, because eventually you will get it, you will pass, and you will be a pilot. Anyway, so 2019, one of the hardest years of my life. It changed everything for me. I achieved my private pilot license, and then my grandfather had a horrible accident, and it took him from our family. And I'm sorry that I'm tearing up, but he passed away in May, and it's been the hardest thing that I've ever had to do in my life, to get through that time period. At Baylor University, I was also doing the Army ROTC, and so in 2019, I was slotted to go to Fort Knox, Kentucky, which is a Fort Knox, Kentucky, which is a cadet training ground. And so my grandfather had passed away, and then immediately within 2 weeks, 2.5 weeks, I was off to training, and I just wasn't myself during that time. But anyway, you know, lost my grandfather, and but I kept going. You know, I kept pushing through my the difficulties I was going through in my life at that time, and I kept pounding out my instrument training. I did my instrument training at Addison Airport, which is north of Dallas, Texas, at American Flyers. They have a great program up there. Highly recommend them if you live in that area. I took the liberty of, I live in Waco, and my flight school was in North Dallas. That is, on a good day, an hour and a half drive. And I did it just because they were accepting the GI Bill at that time, to my benefit. So I was able to get 60% of my training back in my pocket, but they don't do that now. But anyway, so it worked out good. And fast forward a year, I achieved in August of 2020 my instrument rating. So it took me a little over a year to accomplish my instrument. I'm going to be upfront with you here too. Guess what? I failed my oral part of instrument. Whoa. So up until this time, like, every phase of my flight training, I have failed at least one part of it. So don't, you know, right now I'm going through my commercial training, but before I get to that, you know, with instrument training, it's for sure, it's not easy. You know, it does take time and effort, a lot of it, to understand what it is that you need to know as an instrument rated pilot. Because that, in my opinion, it ask any pilot, it makes you a safer pilot. It makes you a better pilot. It makes you the pilot that you thought you would be when you started private. And, it's just such an awesome rating to have. It's a privilege to have it. But anyway, so I failed my oral part of my instrument, but I didn't let that get me down, guys. I went back to my instructor. I said, "Hey, Brandon," shout out to Brandon, by the way, "check this out," which his episode is coming out in, it will be, I believe it's going to be the third or fourth one, but anyway, I need, you know, let's go ahead and get this dialed in. And so literally every day of the week, I would drive from Waco to North Dallas, an hour and a half each way, 3 hours, right, total for each day, 5 days a week. So I was on the road a lot, but I went up there. I did my repetitions. I did the work. I put in the work. Not that I had not been doing it before, but I did it even more so now. And really dialed in what I needed to know, the information that I missed the first time, knocked the oral out the second time, knocked the flight out, the practical out, and I became an instrument rated pilot. And I kept going. I kept putting my, I didn't give up. I kept, even if it was a step, if I was crawling, whatever it was, I kept moving forward, and you have to do that too. But anyway, so after that, started my commercial training. And, excuse me, that's been all great and dandy. I started off 141. I've now switched over to 61. And, you know, I'll be upfront and honest with you here too. I went for my commercial check ride. I was doing it 141. I thought I was ready, but it turned out I wasn't ready. And, I won't go into the necessary details because of you know, certain individuals might hear this podcast, and you know, the question that I failed on, I've been told by other DPEs wasn't fair, but long story short, I failed the oral part of my commercial, and during all of this, okay. During all of this, COVID-19 happened, right? So I had attained my instrument rating, and during that time, COVID decided to, you know, come into everyone's life, and really that messed. I mean, it affected all areas of my life. It was school, flight training, military, just everything, right? And I didn't let that stop me. And during that time period, by the grace of God, I started a business called Lively Aviation. I had been up until this point trying to figure out what I wanted to do, how I wanted to do it. And I wanted freedom. I didn't want to necessarily be tied down to just one thing that I was doing. And, you know, I'll be the first to tell you, I hate school. I'm a professional student. I've been in since 2012. I have over 190 credits. I still don't have a degree. I'm two classes away from it. You know, I got to knock those two classes out. Big deal. But school, I know, wasn't for me. But because I'm just so far in it and so deep in, you know, the degree, whatever, you know, I will finish those two courses that I need to get done and get that degree, that bachelor's degree. But what I'm getting at though, is that, you know, COVID came and, we all went home, you know, and, literally the week that COVID happened, my wife and I were on a cruise. And the last day of the cruise, we were watching this show, and these two girls behind us, they were talking, and we overheard that they were from TCU, which is right up the road from Baylor University. And they said that their school had extended spring break another week, and that a possible an additional week would be added on to it, and that everything was moving online. And I was like, whoa, I bet Baylor does the same thing. Sure enough, I get back home, everything moves online, nothing's in person. And so I came home, but during that time on the cruise, I had gotten an idea of something called the TAB FAR AIM. So during your flight training to become a pilot, one of the things that you have to know is you have to know the federal aviation regulations pertaining to the certificate or rating in which you are pursuing. And during my instrument rating, I was having a little bit of a hard time with the regs. Not that I didn't understand them. I just had a hard time kind of remembering them and the practical sense of where I can apply them. And even today, you know, I'm always trying to sharpen my sword and become a better pilot. But, you know, like 91-175, which is what the criteria that you have to see in order to continue descending your aircraft onto the runway. You have to see certain things in order for you, if you're going down the minimums on a approach. But anyway, I was having a hard time with the regs, and I was like, there's got to be a better and easier way of understanding this. So let's get this out of the way. I like physical books, okay? I started this business, and you know, there's been a lot of individuals that say, oh, you don't need it. You can go with the digital version, so on and so forth. You know, I'm not going to show you my emails, but there's been multiple times where I have told people, hey, it sounds like the digital product is going to be more beneficial to you. That's what I would highly recommend you get. But for me, I like the book. I have all of my course books from when I was at Baylor, at least for not the general courses, just the aviation ones. And they're highlighted. I like to open it. I like to read it. I like to see it. Anyway, same thing with the FAR AIM. I always like having a physical version on me. I like having both. Big deal, right? So, I got the idea. So it's known in the industry, as you know, if you are a pilot, that you need to tab this. You need to tab this sucker out, because it helps you have a better quick reference system of knowing where the regs are, how to pull them up. You know, if you're asked a question by the DPE, or for yourself, if you're like, man, I forgot what 91. 403 is, or you know, whatever you need to look up, 91-211 oxygen, whatever it is that you need to look up. And so I got back home and I went on the internet and I searched TAB FAR AIM. Nothing came up. Nothing. There was a video, there are a couple videos on YouTube, only a couple though, how to TAB your FAR AIM. I didn't find multiple ones, and there was sure as heck no company out there doing it. And I developed product. I got my FAR AIM, and I went to the suggested studying, and one thing led to another. The TAB FAR AIM came to be. I put the first one up for sale on May 4th of 2020. And that same day I had 4 sales, and I knew that I had something that was going to be of value to other people, something in business. So, the definition of business in my humble opinion is, there's a problem and you provide a solution while also giving value to the client or end customer. And if you can do those, things, you have a business. So take a problem, find a solution for it, and provide value. That's what business is, a good business at least. And that's exactly what I've been doing with the TAB FAR AIM. We've been extremely blessed. And if you are listening to this and you have purchased from our business, we are so grateful for you. We recently passed 4,500 hours, 4,500 orders. And, we're only getting started. And, through that has come this podcast, has come a couple of different things that are in our pipeline that, you know, I'm so excited to share with y'all and to get out there and you know, it's going to be a great 2022. But anyway, I've been talking a lot today. If you've made it this far, I do appreciate the time that you've taken, to listen to this podcast today. You know, that is a little bit about me. I hope you know me a little bit more. I'm excited to get to know you more. I'm excited to interview other leaders in the aviation industry and bring that content to you. So this is gonna wrap up episode one of the Leaders of Aviation podcast. You know, I hope you enjoyed today's show. You know, feel free to follow us on all of our social media channels. Go to Facebook, search Lively Aviation. On Instagram, we are at Lively Aviation TX. Go to my LinkedIn. You can search Jeff Lively Jr. or Lively Aviation. We're on there as well. TikTok, Lively Aviation. YouTube, Lively Aviation. And, you know, one thing that I want to get, that I want you to have coming out of this episode today is always keep moving forward. No matter how difficult the road, no matter, the obstacles that lie ahead of you, you know, there's been multiple times on this journey that, at least, on the aviation side of things that I could have quit. I could have been like, you know what? I'm not going to do it. It's going to take too much of my time, too much of this, that, or the other. But something that, you know, I'm pretty proud of myself of doing is I've always kept going. I put one foot in front of the other. You have to keep moving forward. There's no other option that you have, you know. When you're driving in a car, the windshield is much bigger than that rear view mirror. Don't look at the past. Don't look at the things that have happened. Don't let that be the deciding factor of the reasons of why you quit, because the windshield is so much bigger than that little rear view mirror. And you deserve it. You deserve to move forward in your life. You deserve to keep going and becoming the most elite version of yourself. So that's what I'm going to leave you with today. Again, thank you for listening to the show, and excited to bring you episode two within the coming weeks. Hope y'all have a wonderful day, blue skies, and safe flying, my friends.
Thank you for tuning into the Leaders of Aviation podcast. Make sure to share this with someone you know that can benefit from this content. Remember to support this show by rating, reviewing, and subscribing.